So the title of my talk is When Correctly Viewed, Anything is Lewd. And I'm Rose White. I'm a PhD student in sociology at the Graduate Center, which is part of the City University of New York. Today I'm going to introduce some unexpected issues that have come up for users of Flickr, in particular the interactions that occur when an inexperienced or a naive user of Flickr discovers that another Flickr user has more than an innocent appreciation for one of their photos. Although we can dismiss these people as prudes or newbies, I think that's a mistake, and that examining their discomfort in tiny situations can help us look at larger social problems on the internet. Many new users of Web 2.0 come to enjoy the social computing aspects of various sites, Flickr in particular. By tagging photos and joining groups, users can put their photographs in front of more people than ever before, but often discover that they'd rather restrict who can see their posted material. The attention of fetishists and perverts makes innocent photographers into sex objects and pornographers. Historically, we've been able to decide whether to adopt these stigmatized roles. Today, we can have them attached to us. But fetishistic uses of Flickr are far from a perversion of the site's intent. Favoriting and tagging photos, discovering simpatico users, and exploring communities are absolutely intended uses of Flickr. And even so, innocent Flickr users can become very upset about this unwanted gaze of people whom they call creeps or perverts. Users feel violated and misused, and seem unable or unwilling to come to grips with the idea that the people looking at them are not breaking any laws or even any terms of service. Because I'd like to know more about the thought processes of both the innocent and the perverted users of Flickr, I had originally hoped to supplement my talk today with commentary from both sets of users. However, this fall I began a graduate program in sociology at CUNY, which means that any human subject research I do falls under the supervision of an institutional review board. I wasn't able to get this project assessed by my IRB in time to present today. What that means for us is that all of the screenshots I'm going to show you are from publicly visible parts of Flickr. At no time am I using my friend or contact status with a Flickr user to show you material that isn't available to any person with a web browser. I also haven't asked anyone to speak to me in response to the issues I'm addressing. Quotes from Flickr users or from other people on the web are all from comments that they've made on public pages. So first, I'd like to frame how I got interested in the situation. One day I found that a self-portrait of mine had been favorited by someone I didn't know. One of the people who'd favorited this was a partner of mine, but the other person was someone I had never seen before. And so I followed a link there to see his other favorites. And what I found when I looked was that these consisted of pictures of women in silk scarves, women in bondage, sometimes fairly heavy bondage, or both. And it was kind of startling to see my photo. Oh, how do I go back now? Oops. Crap. What you would have seen was his set of favorites with my original self-portrait sort of interspersed. And it was startling for me to see my photo in this context. It was immediately obvious that this was a fetish, and I had the sudden thought that, this guy is going to jerk off to this set of photos. And this set of photos includes a picture of me. And so that was pretty strange. And that's not the only time this has happened to me on Flickr. I like to wear knee-high socks, and often striped ones. Over the years, I've had friends joke about whether I had a fetish for knee-high socks, and I've had lovers joke that I've given them a fetish for knee-high socks. And yet, I wasn't totally aware that there really were people who had fetishes for knee-high socks. I take a self-portrait every day, and I have for almost a year now, and I post it to Flickr. And one day, I posted this photo and found that it became popular. There we go. These photos are less obviously sexual than the previous set of favorites that I showed you, but I had a similar response. I found that I was wrestling with the idea that it wasn't so much that my particular photo was something that this person had liked, but rather that he had a desire to assemble a set of photos, and that mine had become one of his building blocks. Among my photos, socked feet have been the most popular. So even this fairly non-sexy image, which I took in an airport after having been forced to take my boots off, was favorited by someone. And this person turns out to be someone whose interest in socks and feet is more sexually, more clearly sexually related. Because of being favorited by users like this, we've got a guy licking someone's foot, and we have a naked woman in bed. I discovered that there are various groups on Flickr for aficionados of knee-high socks, and I started following one of those groups. When I first became aware of them, the potential for these photos to reflect the sexual interest of either the photographer or the viewer was not being discussed openly at all. The pictures were going up in the group, but this wasn't a topic of discussion. It was a sort of tacit thing. This changed later, and it's something that I'll come back to. So I'd like to emphasize that the people finding my photos and favoriting them are doing absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, they're model users of Flickr. They post photos of their own, they're active members of many groups on the site, and they look at photos posted by many other users, leaving comments and favoriting images that they particularly want to remember. That behavior is precisely how Flickr would like its users to participate. And behavior like this isn't restricted to users searching for material that has a kind of mainstream fetish vibe, like scarves or socks. I became just aware just a few days ago of a Flickr user who has a special interest in pictures of pretty girls wearing seatbelts in the back seats of cars. He had favorited 822 photos that fit that description and had commented on many of them. Unfortunately, because his Flickr stream has come under scrutiny by folks who thought his collection was not only perverted but also funny and worth mocking, he deleted his profile at Flickr. And so the full collection is lost to posterity. But here we can see an example of one of the photos. Just a pretty girl in the backseat of a car. And in the comments for this photo, someone who got there by following links from waxy.org mentioned to the girl in the photo that this story was getting posted around the web and linked her to it. And her response was, "Okay, that's creepy. I've blocked Dub Guy. Anyone who has a seatbelt fetish is too disturbing to fave a pic of me." So she blocked him, and his comments are actually not in the thread because he's not any longer allowed to comment on photos on her site, which is a feature Flickr has for people who are being sort of distressed by how others are viewing their photos. So far, these have all been examples of individuals who are acting entirely within the Flickr site. But a site like Plumper exemplifies how someone can adhere to the letter of Flickr's API, the application programming interface, which governs how other applications interact with Flickr, and the Flickr terms of service, while still managing to upset Flickr users. The guy who runs this site looks at Flickr for photos he likes. He clicks on the blog this link on those photos, and he ends up with an image that's formatted for Blogspot, which has text running under it saying who it was originally uploaded by. When clicked, the photo links back to the original photo stream. The Plumper blogger sometimes hears from women who are unhappy to be featured on a website devoted to plump women, even though they're being admired. This kind of sexual attention from a stranger feels inappropriate to them. Yet, the reason he had access to view their photos in the first place is because they'd posted their images to Flickr and made them publicly viewable. He states on his page that he takes down photos of women if they'd rather he not post them in this context. But despite his scrupulous attention to the rules of Flickr's API, and despite his willingness to remove photos if he finds out that the photographer or the subject is unhappy, he's been faced with complaints from people who feel that he is, quite simply, doing something morally wrong, even if there isn't a written rule they can point to which he's broken. I'd like to quote at length from a comment from one of these women, Jess, that she left on his site in a thread about this kerfuffle. This came up a few months ago, where lots of women suddenly became aware of the site, and they were agitated and were going back and saying, "Take that photo down. I don't want you using that." And I think that her comment really perfectly shows what the conflict is for users of Web 2.0. So this is in her words. "If you were really going to go about this in a respectful manner, you would ask people before linking to their photos. regardless of whether you legally have to, it's the polite and humane way of doing things. Honestly, I'm a little sickened that you posted my picture without any contact or permission whatsoever. It may not be illegal, but it isn't nice. This is in a thread, so there's a snippet of his response, and he says, if you put your picture on the web, some people are going to have bad thoughts about it, whether or not your picture is posted here on Plumper. And she says, yes, but if you put your picture on your personal Flickr site and do not publicize it, it still feels exploitive when someone publicizes it for you, especially in a context with which you might not be comfortable. If I go out on the street, I may have to put up with someone thinking sexually about me, but I do not have to put up with them talking sexually about me or pointing me out to their friends. I'm not asking for that just by being visible, and I would be reacting reasonably if I told them to cut it out. Is what you're doing illegal? Nope. And doubly not so with my photo, which is CC licensed. Is it creepy? Yes, it is. So leaving aside the issue of whether this woman has appropriately considered whether she should be using a CC license for the photos that she puts up on Flickr, let's get back to the issue of whether a user like the Plumper blogger is breaking any rules. Flickr users whose photos he's posted have their photos publicly accessible and available to blog, because he's been using the blog this link on individual photos at Flickr. However, it might be more accurate to say that those users left their images publicly accessible, because that's the default on Flickr. You have to choose to restrict viewing to friends and family. You can change your privacy settings. Who can see this photo? Only you, your friends, your family, anyone. Who can comment? Only you, your friends and or family, your contacts, any Flickr user, and that's actually recommended. Many users eventually express unawareness of this. It'll come to their attention, and then they're like, wait, I didn't know that. But it's meant to be a feature and not a bug. Web 2.0 in general, as we all know, is meant to not only make it easier for individuals to post their content online, but also easier for others to get at that content. Posting pictures to Flickr is not like posting them to a personal web page, despite what the user just said in her comments at Plumper. It's this difference that I think is at the heart of the conflict that's felt when unwanted viewers see pictures. So I can contrast these examples with something that happened recently on Flickr and Orkut, which some of you might have heard about. There were Brazilian Orkut users scouring Flickr for photographs of children, which they then downloaded and reposted on their own sites, creating fake profiles on Orkut, which gave the appearance of having been created by children, sort of in their voice. So officially a mom is somebody whose photo stream I'm aware of, and this is a screenshot that she took, so kind of a little meta image here, of images of her daughter were on someone's Orkut page. So this caused an uproar on Flickr, and much of the discussion about the behavior of the Orkut users was not only about theft, but also perversion, and how this had caused many parents who had previously had their accounts completely open to essentially friends lock their photos so that bad people couldn't see them. This is a slide, sort of an image that one of those people put up. This message is in her photo stream expressing her outrage at the misuse of her photos by Orkut members, but going on to talk about what's particularly upset her. I'm not sure you can read the smaller print off the slide, so I'll read it out loud for you. I wish Flickr could truly be a place for photographers to share. Instead, I'm having to constantly defend my stream from weirdos, pedophiles, and thieves. I thought by quitting all child, kid, baby-related groups and not using those types of tags on my photos, I might get skipped. Evidently not. So what we have here is a very active Flickr user who spent time on the site consciously not using many of the features of the site, like tagging or joining groups, because she felt harried by what seemed to her to be malevolent users. In her words, weirdos, pedophiles, and thieves. Clearly there's been a breakdown of expectations, but where? And how can we locate where the problem is? It used to be harder to participate online. As some of our speakers yesterday pointed out, the barrier to entry on the internet has been lowering rapidly. And even just a few years ago, when you did put content on the web, it was harder for others to get to than it is now. But the availability of free blogging software, free page hosting, with increasingly easy user interfaces, think of the black boxing that Jonathan Coopersmith talked about yesterday, have made it trivial for people to not only be consumers of the internet, but content producers. Before, even Google image search would only find your posted pictures if someone searched on the right thing. But once people start using Flickr to post pictures, their images are plugged into a community of people who expressly want to look at other people's pictures. Most users of Flickr don't mind that, though. Many come to enjoy the ease of making new connections, and they learn to tag their content, to title their photos, and to describe them, because the site, partly because the site makes that easy, and partly through seeing that others do so. It's the normative behavior in this community. But tagged content is visible content. Even if a photo is only in someone's photo stream and not added to any groups, it's still visible. And even if it isn't tagged, if it's titled or described at all, it's searchable. And this still surprises naive users who sometimes say, how did that pervert even find me? Anecdotally, I've had several people tell me that they do not tag or otherwise comment on their own photographs for this reason. And as we saw above, one of the users affected by the Flickr Orkut mess tried the same thing as a response. And this seems like a failure of Web 2.0, but why is it happening? What I've been seeing is a large group of people, made up of many subgroups, who are struggling to figure out how to behave when so much information, previously completely private, is exposed to public view. I should add, however, that, of course, the availability of new technology has caused some of this content to come into existence. Before we had digital photography, which lowers the perceived cost of taking photographs, before we had social networks and photo-sharing sites, which normalize the idea of showing personal photographs to strangers, the number of people taking photos of their feet or snapshots of themselves in the back seats of cars was surely smaller. I mentioned before that there are groups on Flickr completely devoted to sock photos. And now I'd like to come back to one of those for a moment. The first one I was aware of was knee-high socks. When I first saw the page, its self-description was the only group on Flickr dedicated to knee-high socks. Variation in length, color, and style encouraged. More recently, another line has been added, which I've highlighted, but which you can't read, saying, absolutely nothing seedy or weird. Violate this rule and you will be banned. It turns out that even among members of a group devoted to photos of women's feet, because it's always women's feet, in knee-length socks, there are things that can be perceived as seedy or weird. In a thread titled, Should the Group's Photos Be Private to Members?, the first poster said, when the knee-high socks group was first started, we pledged that we would keep the pool clean of anything creepy, seedy, fetish, or plain weird. There is an obvious potential for the group to attract some rather unsavory photos. He goes on to describe the problem that's been plaguing the group, and that there have been people who have needed to be banned, some of whom have gone on to start their own groups. He then says that he would like the group to be known as being non-creepy. A member responding to his original question, which was, should the group's photos be private, says, I started noticing really awful, creepy people lingering in my stream because of my sock set. How sick. I love fun socks because they brighten my day and make me feel silly. And knowing that people are, ew, well, you know, it's really quite gross. And many, many times I've thought that I shouldn't add my pictures to this group because those sick individuals hawk the sock groups. But I still do it because I enjoy seeing other silly socks. It turns out it's not just the sock people who are coping with this issue. Here is a group devoted to pictures of feet. which is struggling Yes. So they're struggling to differentiate between levels of perversion and to decide what's okay and what isn't. The group is called, as most of you can see, Foot, No Kids, No Animals, No Objects, No Penises. One member of the group, in response to this thread about things I hate about Flickr, says, well, I think it's really creepy when one of my fellow foot fetishists finds a foot pic which is clearly non-fetish and inundates it with rude remarks of where he'll lick and things like that. So here's a person who's saying, if it's clearly a fetish photo, that's okay, but if you're kind of, you know, sneaking up on someone, so to speak, you shouldn't leave comments about, like, I want to lick between your toes. And so he's identifying that as a problem, even for members of this group. And that brings us back to the underlying problem. Innocent users of Flickr are in conflict with perverted users of Flickr, but neither of them's in the right. Both groups of people are using the site as it was intended to be used, despite the indignation of the innocent users. And, of course, an argument could even be made that the perverted users are kind of super users of the site. They test the limits of the site. They use all the features. And that goes along with the overall theme of our conference, that sex drives technology. And to paraphrase something Kyle said yesterday, people's drive to reproduce can cause us to create really awesome shit. What seems to me to be happening is that web users are grappling with how to define societal expectations. Put another way, we're all asking a series of questions. What kind of place is the internet? What kind of place is a particular website or an individual page within that website? What rules govern our interactions with each other in those different spaces? The discomfort produced in the situations that I've put in front of us is a product of that kind of confusion. And as a sociologist, I'm actually better at describing a social situation than I am at coming up with answers. I don't know how we should act online, but I'm fascinated to see how we're making it up as we go along. And as always, issues about sexuality are at the leading edge of that kind of exploration. So if you want to email me about any of this, I'd be delighted. And my username at Flickr is Yarnivore. And does anybody have any questions? Hi, Kyle.
Yes.
Of course, Kyle.
I'm curious. What can I say? So do you feel that... in the sock or the foot fetish community, there seems to be either people go and make their own group that's a subgroup of all of these other non-fetishy groups that's made for fetishes, or they go, which, I mean, they could private those and no one would know they were around. It seems what the problem is that people are going out and, I don't want to say attacking, but I guess that's the best word for it, or at least putting all the, lewd comments and things like that on the images. Is that part of the fetish, or is that a fetish in and of itself, do you think? I mean, is the fetish causing the social issues there?
I think that's a great question. I believe, although I'm not privy to it, that there are plenty of private groups on Flickr that consist of fetish photos, some of which may be culled from Flickr, some of which may be culled from the rest of the web. It's certainly been true for years that there are groups like that on Yahoo that are completely restricted membership and which consist of people sort of sharing photographs amongst themselves. I don't know whether attacking innocent users is part of a fetish for some people. Clearly, it isn't for some people. I was really interested to see the comment by the person in the foot fetish group saying, that's not appropriate behavior. Don't do that to those people. Because it seemed to me that he was trying to exercise some social control within the group. And I'll be curious to see how that plays out.
One of the things that I've found in online interactions is that a lot of people believe that porn is bad, and therefore you can't look at it. But looking at these Flickr pictures of knee-high socks, they're not porn, so it's okay. And I'm wondering if you have explored that theory or idea at all.
So is your question whether the people assembling and looking at photos of socks, whether they think it's not porn, or...
Feeling that it's okay to look at these pictures and you won't get in trouble if your wife sees them or something like that because it's not porn and, you know, God still loves you because it's not porn and that sort of thing.
I haven't thought about that as an issue. I think that people who have, you know, hundreds of photos of socks because they have a sexual interest in them are aware of their sexual interest. They're, you know, they're doing the assembling of the collection. I don't know, obviously, what their thoughts are about perceptions of others on that. I didn't include in this talk because what I wanted to show sort of completely innocent photos that have been reappropriated, but there's certainly people who have collections of photos of women's feet in knee-high socks jerking guys off. So that, you know, sort of extends it into more obviously sexual territory.
Every time you watch a sock on Flickr, God kills a kitten. So.
Like most of these Web 2.0 sites, Flickr has a somewhat arbitrary power to ban and delete people's accounts based on, and I know that Flickr has this sort of very vague idea of community standards, which can apply. How much do you think when people are saying, okay, nothing bad here, we're just being perfectly clean about this, is actually somewhat of a pretense because they're scared that all of this will be taken away from them if they're much more overt about it? Is it sort of a wide stance kind of position that they're taking? This is perfectly innocent. Please do not remove our powers in this.
I think that's often the case where people would like to use a site like Flickr or other Web 2.0 sites and or any public space, and they say, oh, no perverts here, it's okay. And I don't know if including that kind of text in the description of a group is meant to forestall examination by the powers at Flickr. I haven't seen there be a sort of trend of Flickr deleting accounts for reasons like this. So if that's the intention, I don't believe it's in response to a particular incident. It might be a more general sense of wanting to, you know, deflect attention.
So the question that I have to pose is, as far as in regards to what people expect, both the users that don't feel that they're being perverted, like the sock people, and the perverts who are intending to, like, you know, view this as a form of gratification, do you think it's appropriate that Flickr has such loose restraints, considering that they have the security measures? And do you think it is, but at the same time, do you think that the people who have these public domains or groups should expect a certain amount of privacy, just like in public situations versus like private situations where it's kind of known that it's not okay to talk about like it as a sexual fetish? Like if I saw your boots, I'm like, I want to lick your boots right now. Obviously not here, but like just walking down the street. But do you think that they should be allowed that, not allowed that right, but should expect that right to have it's be similar to the public forum of like face-to-face interaction as on the internet, because it seems to be a lot different.
Thanks for the question. In case it wasn't clear, that's exactly the kind of issue I'd like to highlight. And here I'm presenting it as something that we can think about and discuss further. But it's that exact issue. What kind of a space is the internet as a whole? What kind of space is Flickr? Individual groups within Flickr sometimes behave as though that's a somewhat private space, like a salon or a living room, and that what goes on there is within these walls. But it's still the public web, And what we're learning to manage are expectations about how people act in those spaces. And as you said, it would be considered inappropriate for you to just walk up to me on the street and say, I want to lick your boots. Whereas I've certainly seen people on websites consider that a reasonable thing to comment on somebody's photograph. I haven't myself had that comment, but I've seen ones like it. You know, oh my God, you're so hot, or I want to kiss you here. People can add notes on Flickr photos. And the first part you asked is whether I think Flickr should be so loose about this. I personally think it's absolutely fine. What we're seeing is individuals struggling with how they feel about it. I think that the things that this kind of interactivity on Web 2.0 sites, the things that that gives us are benefits. And I'm really thrilled and enjoying seeing how people learn to use them. Specifically, what I have seen, and I didn't want to go into a whole biography of any individual, partly because of the sort of IRB issues that I raised earlier, but I've seen people who are perfectly happy to have their photos shared amongst others, commented on widely, or members of many groups, feel very loose about who is seeing them. But when there's that moment that there's a sexual component to the gaze, they suddenly freak out, and they don't want that person looking at them. And there isn't a way on Flickr, you know, there's not a sort of, you know, a pervert button, like, oh, I'm a pervert, and then, you know, you're not allowed to see certain websites. So people who want a certain level of exposure, I think, are putting themselves, I personally think, are putting themselves more in public view, and that learning how to gracefully deal with unwanted attention is something that's going to come with that. Sure.
Sorry. It strikes me that Web 2.0 is sort of a set of enabling technologies for the mashup, mix-up sort of culture that we have that's arguably based on, you know, like Burroughs and Gysin's cut-ups, you know? And I don't know if this is abrasive to say, but as a technologist, to me it seems kind of, I don't know, both silly and annoying when somebody is posting material on a website that is specifically Web 2.0, but yet they regard it as somehow like their sacred artistic creation that should never be reinterpreted or reimagined or even discussed in any other context. And I guess I just feel like, you know, maybe it's an issue of education. You know, it's like you jumped in there, but you don't even know what the site is that you're using. You know, maybe it's just me.
I think it's even older than Boris, but...
If it's just you, it's just you and me, and I think that it's not. I think that it's probably most of us in the room. I was particularly interested in the woman who says that she Creative Commons licenses her photos, but was instantly like, but you can't put my photo on your site. I don't know which Creative Commons license she uses for her images, but that certainly indicates a kind of general interest in having other people use her photography in their own projects. And so for her to then want to go back in and control and say, well, you can use my photos in your project, but not if they're weird. I don't think we have a Creative Commons license against that. No weird uses. Yeah. No kinky uses.
Creative Commons context license.
There we go. The other...
Disclaimer.
Like, long
disclaimer.
Right.
No.
No. I click 9. The first thing you're asking about people jumping in and using the technology without realizing that this is how the web works. Many years ago, knew somebody who had posted some photos on her webpage of a project she was working on, a kind of tarot-related project. And she... you know, was happy to have people go to her website and see them. Somebody else on his page thought it was a great project, wrote about it, didn't want to steal her bandwidth, downloaded the picture, put it on his server, and wrote a little thing about it. And she freaked out and said, you're stealing my images. And it turned out that she didn't really understand how the web works, that he was trying to be polite, and that she felt he had downloaded her image and misused it. Even though the context, and it was a thumbnail, it was him saying, go look at her site, it's really cool. This kind of, it's kind of a culture clash, where in that particular case, his politeness was met by her confusion about how he'd behaved. I think that that's part of what's happening in some of these things, that it's a culture clash, not that it is polite to, you know, catalog pictures of people's feet. I have no opinion on that.
So, last question.
Two things I just wanted to point out, maybe not so much a question as just throwing it out there for discussion, but one is that a lot of this has been gendered so that it's women who are objecting or women who are not understanding the internet is public space and women saying that it's not okay to use to treat public space this way and men saying, yes, it is, you don't really understand. So what if it's men's images? What if we as feminists, you know, this was a discussion that happened all over in the late 80s and 90s in Riot Girl zines and that kind of thing, is let's reappropriate men's images and let's appropriate them and, you know, exploit them sexually and see how they like it or make them uncomfortable in some analogous way. It's actually really hard to do that because the guys will just end up fetishizing it. But the other thing was that I love the point about it being public space and of it being complicated and that it seems akin to throwing someone out of a bar, right? If Flickr kicks you off, it's like bouncing you out of the bar because you've been too creepy. Or but what actually happens is more invasive and horrible than that. So you're in this corporate space. You think that you're in a public forum, but you're not. In fact, they're going to not only kick you out of the bar, they're going to reach into your backpack, take your diary out, and rip it up into tiny pieces. So that's kind of what happens.
I appreciate both your comments. The first one about this being a gendered discourse is entirely appropriate. The examples that I was giving were of women who were uncomfortable or made uncomfortable by the appropriation of their images. It would be an interesting project, and I may pursue looking at whether there are any comparable communities of men who are feeling upset about their images being appropriated. The second point you made about public space reminds me of something that got brought up in a sociology class that I'm taking. This was sort of, it's beside the point that it was in class. It was a discussion of sort of student sociologists. And one person was talking about what a disaster it is if your web identity is somehow besmirched. And another person said, well, but you know how those internet people are? You can just, like, make up a new identity. And he said, well, no, you know, you can't just make up a whole new you. If you have an integrated you who you present on the internet, maybe using the same username across accounts, maybe participating in many different communities, that's who you are. And there isn't another internet for you to move to. And she said, are you suggesting that it would be easier to move from one town to another town if your identity were assaulted in some way? And he said, yes, I am. There's only one internet. You know, I don't want to be kicked off it. So thanks, guys. That was great.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Woo!